live at AsylumFantasySports.com. It's a Sunday morning inside slant.
We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum, all you Asylumites.
Asylumites,
baby. And
whatever happens.
Drop us a line at AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com.
Get those last-minute questions in on Twitter, at AsylumFootball.
And follow us on Twitter, like Rick said, and, of course, try that to Facebook. Give us the old thumbs up.
Old thumbs up.
That's right. You either like us or at least tolerate us.
Yeah, the tolerate. And, of course, we also heard on the Real Fan Sports Network at rfsportsradio.com. And don't forget the Armed Forces Radio Network, armedforcesradionetwork.co, at the AFRN on the Twitter. Check them out. Let them know you heard us there. Big doings over there at the Armed Forces Network. And so happy to be a part of it. I don't think this show's on Armed Forces Network, but Thursdays, I believe.
No.
Well, they play it today. I don't know.
Yeah. Fligger and Briggs are on there, so
yeah,
check
somewhere.
Us out. That's for sure.
Track us down. So.
And don't forget the 11 o'clock hour. We got Scott Fish and the Machine coming in.
Oh, the Machine.
And the Machine probably got his buttons pushed on some of the islands he put himself on last week.
Yeah,
the Big Ben Island sure paid off
for
him.
Let me declare, I will not put myself on Geno Smith Island this week. I can pretty much guarantee that.
Well, Scott and I were kind of wondering how you liked that out there. I mean, probably there's probably one palm tree, not a coconut on it.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a pine tree and one of those brown ones, like how your Christmas tree looks by
January
3rd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what Geno Smith Island looks like. So, never again. Well, Rick, week 12, and it now officially looks and feels like football season here in western Pennsylvania. It's about 11 degrees outside and snow blowing everywhere. Steelers played in Cleveland. I think a lot of these north and northeast teams, you're going to see this weather, and the weather may become a factor in some of these games.
Yeah, very well could. And this is where you start seeing some of the running games and the running backs become more prevalent in fantasy, you know, depending on how the wind is. I know the wind was howling here this morning. I don't know where it's going to be like in Cleveland, you know, coming off the lake. Man, that could have something to do with the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that's why, you know, why I bring it up. That's what I'm looking most forward to, is maybe getting these running games reestablished and hoarding all those running backs as you have. I think Rick, for the most part, running backs have been close to irrelevant to your fantasy team, especially in PPR formats. May see that come to the head of the class, if you will. So let's just jump into a few headlines, Rick. Not a whole lot out there.
Let's jump into the chat room real quick before we lose it. We have a flex question.
Let's do it.
Non-PPR or standard, however you want to look at it.
Standard.
Needs a flex. Hilton, Gordon, or Rainey?
Hilton, Gordon, or Rainey. I think, Rick, it's pretty easy for me. Obviously, I love Hilton, but going up against Peterson today, Gordon you know, he's going to draw Ike Taylor. Rainey, are you ready to trust Rainey, Rick? Let's just have that discussion now. I had him down on my watch list, but let's just jump into it right now. Yeah, one three-quarters of a nice game, an amazing game last week. Can you trust him, especially with guys like T.Y. Hilton and Josh Gordon on your bench?
Well, the situation this fella's in, if he has Gordon looking for a flex, that means he must have a couple of studs starting at wide receiver. And if we go back to what we say basically every week, that Gordon is unsuitable, I'm going to have to go with Gordon before I trust Tampa Bay or Rainey for a week.
Exactly, and you love T.Y. Hilton, and I think he's an every-week start in most formats, too, to your point. This guy's obviously got some serious studs at wide receiver. Going up against Peterson, his matchup isn't there. I agree. I know Scott said it before that Josh Gordon is basically matchup-proof, going to be the number one target. You can throw the ball. You can move the ball on the Steelers offense. Rainey, you love the upside, but why take that chance when you have Josh Gordon? So I'm going to agree 100%.
Okay. I mean, I think I'm going to have to. He's full of studs. He's got Demaryius Thomas and Andre Johnson he just relayed in the chat room. So, yeah. I mean, to be able
well
to,
done, sir.
Yeah,
well done.
Yes, indeed. To be able to have Demaryius Thomas and Andre Johnson and Josh Gordon starting on your team, and the way Rainey's been performing, we have a couple of starting running backs somewhere. I think you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, so I wouldn't feel too bad about that whatsoever. Well done, absolutely. So a couple of headlines, Rick. We'll get to our start sits and our watch. We'll talk about the Saints-Falcons. I think some interesting things come out of that, and we'll make our predictions and get Scott in here at the top of the hour. So first thing we got to talk about, non-fantasy related, Rick, but I found it interesting. Chiefs like Chiefs linebacker. There we go. That shouldn't be so hard to say.
Thank you.
James Michael Johnson donates money to replace 300 turkeys stolen from a Fairfield, California homeless shelter. What kind of lowlife steal? Number one, who steals from a home? Maybe it's a homeless guy. So I'm going to leave that part aside. What kind of lowlife steals from a homeless shelter? What in God's name do you do with 300 turkeys?
Sell them probably is the only thing I can think
planning.
Of. I don't know.
It's like knocking over an armored car because you're going to have a truck of some sort to haul 300 turkeys. Yeah. And is there a turkey black market? That's the real question here.
I
guess they're probably trying to sell them, but where do you sell 300 turkeys?
But that's the thing I have a problem with. Number one, there's usually a huge surplus of turkey. In fact, the United States usually gives away literally millions of pounds of turkeys to other countries.
Really?
But, oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of turkeys in this country. Number two, I was just at the grocery store yesterday and was looking. I didn't buy one, but I was just contemplating turkeys. And huge tom turkey, 68 cents a pound. It's not like you're getting rich selling turkeys.
And it's going to have to be cheaper on the black market. I think
I think
the black market turkey market is soft. That's what I'm thinking here. And so what's the point? I think you're doing it just to be a jerk at that point. Yeah, is that what it is?
Probably the same guy that will knock off a Salvation Army Santa Claus
probably
later on.
Yeah, take 78 cents and some gum wrappers is all you're going to get there. So interesting there. If the guy who stole the turkeys is listening right now, call in. We'll keep you anonymous. We'll gimmick up your voice a little. I'm just curious what you plan to do with the 300 turkeys. But good for James Michael Johnson stepping up for his community. You don't see a lot of that. Rick, looks like Monday night, of course, and it's my fault. Jordan Reed going to be out with a concussion. I just made a trade in our League of Consequence where you and I are battling this week probably to determine who's going to win that division. There's one other guy, but he's a clown, so we're going to get rid of him. But I make a trade. The tight end was my weakest position. Make a trade. Get Jordan Reed. Of course, he is now out with a concussion on Monday. So others along with me are going to have to make other plans.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I happened to see on the league website that you actually did pick up a tight end, and I'm not so sure you didn't get the better end of the deal with
Garrett Graham.
Garrett Graham from the Texans, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I had picked up Fred Davis and Paulson, both, in anticipation of not knowing until Reed being a game-time decision. Kind of fortunate for me and all Jordan Reed owners that they made the announcement last night that he was going to be out, that he didn't pass that concussion test. Graham's interesting. Daniel's not coming back this week. He's expected to be back next week, I think.
Right.
You think, and we'll talk about that a lot, I'm sure, in the lineup questions in the start sit. Houston has a fantastic matchup. So I think I'm set up there. So there, Jordan Reed owners, see if you can still get a hold of Graham. I think I'm set up. Good likelihood of a touchdown there anyhow. I'm not expecting seven,
very
eight
possible
grabs out of him, but definitely look his way in the red zone. Rick, this I find disturbing. Is this just stubbornness or something we don't see? Trent Richardson still expected to get the start over Donald Brown this week.
They gave up a first-round pick for him, and they're going to go with him. In fact, he happens to be on my start, sit, and watch list, and, of course, we'll get to what he is when we get there.
I can guess.
I'm totally amazed that he gets as much work as he's getting right at this stage of the year right now. There's clearly something wrong with Trent Richardson. A, he's not healthy.
Something
that that is really just not getting let out. B, he's not as good as build, and C, he's not a good fit into this system. Is about the only thing I can come up with.
Yeah, and I don't know. Is it obviously there's a big learning curve in football more than anywhere else. In baseball, you can make a trade and the guy can succeed immediately. In hockey, pretty much the same thing. In the NBA, pretty much the same thing. There may be a little bit more in basketball, but basically everybody can run a motion offense, which is what everybody does these days. I understand the playbook's different, this blocking schemes, things are different, but this has been, what are we talking, Rick, 8-9 weeks now since this deal's been made. I'm sure in an attempt to they'd simplify things, at least in the running game for him, he's just not picking it up. And the success that Donald Brown has had, now, I think the one thing to bear in mind, if you're considering playing Donald Brown, if you're in a tight spot here or if you're weak at running back, just because Trent Richardson gets the start, he could get the first two carries and you may not see him again. So I think Donald Brown's still viable. It just it really sticks out. You've got Donald Brown performing the way he is. You've got Trent Richardson performing the way he is. Why you come out and make this grand stand for Trent Richardson? I don't understand it.
I don't either. And, you know, maybe they're comfortable with the workload that they're feeding Donald Brown and the way he's performing with it. But you would think, especially heading to the playoffs, they need to establish running game. Look, they get into the playoffs and they start getting destroyed the first half. Like we talked with Russ Baxter in the previous show this past week. They're not going to survive getting beat up in the first half like they've been getting.
No.
And they're not going to come back against Denver. They're not going to come back against New England. And they're not going to come back against, like, Kansas City defense.
They're not
going to
come
behind.
Back against Arizona like that.
Exactly.
With a legitimate defense.
I agree. 100%. Let's head to the chat room.
All right. Let's do it.
Back to the same lineup that we were talking about before. Now we need two running backs from Rainey.
Okay.
MJD, Andre Brown. I'm certainly, you know, hopping on Andre Brown.
Yeah, he's number one
on the Cowboys,
that list.
No doubt about that. I tell you what, Maurice Jones-Drew seems to find the end zone against the toughest defenses they play, and just by that ask, I tell you what though, Rainey, you know, do you want to ride that horse one time with what you got with wide receivers and the flags? I may be inclined to gamble a little bit with Rainey. I don't think the point, you know, I think he could really have a huge upside as far as his peak as opposed to MJD. And the point differential, if he just has a so-so day, I think is a lot less. So I think I might run with Rainey.
Yeah, I think that's the point. On the average team, I want to tell you to go with MJD because I think we have a lot of preconceived notions going into the season that Houston defense is a tough matchup for Maurice Jones-Drew. That's just not the fact this year, Rick. They are, if I'm not mistaken, dead last, at least fantasy-wise, the Houston Texans defense. However, you made the point. You said Demaryius Thomas. I can't remember the other.
Andre Johnson. Josh Gordon.
Now he's starting Josh Gordon in the flex. He's got Andre Brown, who I think is a top six or seven guy this week with that matchup against Dallas. Why not swing for the fences there? If you didn't have the rest of that stable, if you didn't have the rest of that team, I'm going to tell you to play it safe and go MJD. But I think Rainey, here's the thing with Rainey. He's going to get the workload. And he's going to catch passes, and he's, what, 30 carries in that range last week? Why not? Take a swing at the fences. You've got enough to cover it up. If Rainey has a bad day, I think the ceiling for MJD is, what do you think, Rick, 15, 16 points.
Most
probably
likely.
The floor for Rainey is going to be in the 10 range, 8 to 10 range, with the upside being 30s and 40s at this point if they use him that same way. Detroit, still a pretty good front seven, I understand, but I think they work him in. With the lineup he has, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say let's swing for the fences and go Bobby Rainey. Ride that train until it derails, if you will.
All right, there we go. Well, let's move on with the headlines. If you have anything,
I got one more I want to talk about. I just find
thought
interesting.
You might.
We'll go a little blue on the show here a little bit.
Oh,
since
my.
This one isn't the armed forces, but
maybe we can get the old 70s.
Well, not that kind of blue.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Put your shirt back on for God's sake. Any chance he gets, it's pathetic. Scott, be glad you call in and don't come into the studio. But referee Roy Ellison, Rick, suspended for this week's game, cursing out Trent Williams, called him, and I quote, and I don't even know what this means, which is why I want to say it. And we can get away with it. Kids, plug your ears, earmuffs, if you remember the movie Old School, calls Trent Williams fat ass garbage, which I find an interesting name.
Huh.
Now, what I also found, it was in response to Trent Williams using racial epithets towards him, which I don't think is acceptable. In the
well, maybe that's where fat ass garbage came from. You know, maybe he didn't like being called
well,
some racial slur.
I think,
don't know.
And that sort of was Ellison's defense in it, although he doesn't appeal the suspension. I'm curious, Rick, what you think about. You see it. You see in the NFL films, these referees just get abused. And the language that's used in on an NFL field in an NFL locker room, is it really beyond the pale for a referee to bark back and maybe curse at a player? It's not anything awful to me. I'm surprised the league goes this way.
To me, that's not – if they don't want – okay, if he's using a racial slur or whatever it is on a referee – throw a flag. It ends it real quick.
Well, that's okay.
It ends it real
okay.
quick.
That That's reasonable, but I just think the abuse these guys take, these are all grown men out there. You, Trent Williams, I assume, is about 782 pounds, 6'8", 782 pounds. Little umpire Roy Ellison calls you fat-ass garbage. Is it really that bad that you're going to go whine into the league and the league's got to suspend somebody? I know they've got to be neutral, the integrity of the game, the shield, all this nonsense. I just don't think it's a big deal, and the suspension surprises me. It's really nothing, and Trent Williams, shame on you. Really, you go crying to Daddy Goodell because
exactly.
The referee was mean to you after you called him the N-word. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think it's ridiculous. Look, like you said, the referees are supposed to be neutral, but yet they get abused from both sides.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, I still say you can end it real quick.
That's true.
You want to start cursing at a referee? I mean, they throw flags for everything else. We'll throw one for this.
Yeah, that's true. Every time you tackle anybody above the sternum, it's a 15-yard penalty. Maybe if a guy calls you that word, you go ahead and throw the penalty there. So I'll agree with that. Well, Rick, that's all I have as far as headlines go. Just not a lot of injuries. Watch Adrian Peterson, a guy to keep an eye on this week. Looks like he's going to go, but still a little banged up with that groin. But, again, I think we talked about it Thursday. Never recommend sitting Adrian Peterson if he's going to play.
Right.
They're going to give him a helmet, play him. Surprisingly, this time of year, not a lot of new injury news otherwise.
Which is a good thing, especially when you're working toward your fantasy playoffs. But let's head to the chat room again. We have another non-PPR slash standard format. He needs one.
Okay.
Andre Brown, MJD, Ben Tate, Shane Vereen.
Okay, so in a non-PPR, you throw Vereen out right away. Vereen could make this real complicated if this was a PPR league. Tate, love his matchup, really do. I think he could have a big day. But Andre Brown, Rick, I think is probably one of the starts of the week as I bang the table around and Rick looks at me disgustedly.
Well, I do that normally.
It happens a lot. So it comes down to Andre Brown and Tate for me. I've just seen more out of Andre Brown recently. They both have tremendous matchups. For me, Rick, it's Andre Brown. I'm going to recommend him over all but three or four people in the league this week.
Yeah, I really do like Andre Brown. I love Ben Tate this week. As a matter of fact, he actually is on my list of start, sits, and watches, and we'll get to that later too. When it gets to non-PPR, boy, I tell you, Andre Brown, I think the Giants are on the way up. Houston is just a mess, which is probably the difference maker to me. I think I'd go with the team that's better off right now.
Yeah, in a PPR format, maybe Tate. They tend to use the running back in the passing game a little more often there in Houston. Andre Brown's going to get 25 or 30 carries as long as that game stays close, and I just think he's set up for a big day. I'm shoving all in on Andre Brown this week.
Okay, yeah. I mean, and you, plus you own him in a lot of leagues, too.
That's true, so maybe it's just me being selfish.
All right, we have another one. It's a PPR question in the chat room.
Okay, the real standard.
Yeah. Okay, we've nixed the first question. Okay, it's back. Okay, start one.
Okay.
Floyd or Alshon Jeffrey? Wow.
I don't think you can sit Jeffrey. I love what Floyd did and
right.
Recently, but Alshon Jeffrey is emerging as a every week start in fantasy football, a high-end number two receiver. Him and Brandon Marshall, the number one receiving duo in the NFL, both receiving-wise and in fantasy football. Now, you always have the worry if Brandon Marshall gets rolling and Alshon Jeffrey becomes the decoy or the other way around, but I think gone are the days of you're just hoping for that huge upside for Jeffrey. I think he's an every-week play.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. I think I'd roll with Jeffrey. All right.
All right. Well, let's jump in, Rick. Thursday night, we talked about it a little bit on the show on Armed Forces Radio Network. Saints 17, Falcons 14. A surprisingly low scoring and close game in my
13,
mind.
I believe. Wasn't it 13?
Well, I don't know. I have 14 written down. Let's take a look. Let's go to the cracks. If it is 17-13, so the producer who put my notes together is a real bonehead, apparently.
Well, yeah, he is.
But nevertheless,
it was a surprisingly low-scoring game as both defenses actually stepped up. Atlanta, yeah, they're just terrible.
It's unbelievable. With a franchise quarterback coming off the season, they did. Yeah, losing Julio Jones is bad. Yeah, Roddy White. Still banged up, and we'll talk about him as part of this game. But how are they that bad? They bolstered the defense. You bring in Steven Jackson, and it's just been a train wreck down there in Atlanta. And I can't explain it because as I bang the table again, I am struggling this morning. Now he's shaking his head at me. And
I mean, it's like sitting here with a walrus on land. Honest to God, it's just like whatever he does, he's just flopping and flailing around.
I'm excited. I'm happy to be here. You're over there half comatose, and I'm trying to bring a little life to the show here. So anyhow, let's get to it, Rick. On the Saints side, Drew Brees did what Drew Brees does, not the huge numbers, but 278, two touchdowns. Jimmy Graham does what Jimmy Graham does, 5 for 100 and a touchdown, hopefully keeps me alive in the FFOAC suicide league unless every other tight end in the league goes off. Here's what I want to talk about here. Stay away from that running game. Pierre Thomas, 10 for 73. If you find yourself in a position, gun to your head, they're going to force you to start a Saints running back. I think it's Pierre Thomas now.
No
I think
doubt.
I think that's shaking itself out. But here we go again. Colston, 4 for 40. Stills, 2 for 22. The question is, Rick, can you at any point trust a New Orleans wide receiver? You have all the upside in the world, but do you ever trust them?
No, I mean, it's very difficult. Other than Jimmy Graham, it's extremely difficult. I mean, this guy is the uncoverable matchup, but Colston has been horrid. I mean, he has been pretty much fantasy stud the last few years and pretty safe pick. You'd be able to get pretty good value with Colston over the last few years. But it doesn't much matter where you got him this year. He's been a disappointment. You got Meacham, you got Moore, and they're just like, not, you know, up and down, night and day. You just don't know what you're going to get with them. And it's basically Pierre Thomas, Drew Brees, and Jimmy Graham have been the stalwart performers of the New Orleans offense.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't know how many weeks in a row I have recommended to sit. We'll let you Stills as the example. I've picked
Stills, yeah.
I've picked
one.
Crazy guys over Stills. I don't trust Stills. And he'll catch 7 balls for 1.25 and 2 touchdowns. And so then the next week, all right, start Stills. Then he goes 2 for 22. You don't know with these guys. The offense is going to roll. You don't know who it's going to go through. They exploit those matchups. If you're looking for a home run play, I think is where you play these guys, except for Colston. He even in his recent success the last 2 games haven't been huge numbers. These other guys are just shot in the dark, swing for the fences, play. It's going to pay off sometimes, but I don't think you can ever trust them.
I agree.
On the you got a question?
Yes,
there?
We got part 2 of the question before. PPR, pick 1 flex. This is a tough one. Zach Stacy, Ben Tate, Floyd, or Cameron?
Stacy, Floyd, Tate, or Cameron. I love Stacy. I think it's Tate. You know, Cameron's disappeared, especially since Jason Campbell's come into that offense. Now, Steelers are a little susceptible to the tight end, but Floyd, again, coming off that huge game, he's still a fringe start for me. So it comes down to Tate and Stacy, and just Tate's matchup this week. I think he sets up for a huge game. So I think it's Tate.
Yeah, I mean, they both have great matchups. Tate has Jacksonville, and Stacy has the Bears, which, you know, it's not that vaunted Bears defense pass. They're way down there as far. In fact, we'll be hitting on the start, sits, and watches again on that.
A lot of teasers here this
Yeah,
week.
A lot. I think it's extremely close, but I am going to go Ben Tate.
All right.
Now, I don't know. Scott's doing this to us. Also, Julius Thomas. Now, if Julius Thomas is part of that mix for the flex in PPR, that's another very dangerous situation because Julius Thomas is huge. And, boy, I tell you what, it's hard to bench a Julius Thomas because he's a touchdown machine.
All right. So this team has Jordan Cameron, Julius Thomas. We're talking about in a flex spot. Who are we starting at tight end here? They have Gronk, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm interested in it. But I think even with Julius Thomas, I think it's Tate in a PPR format. He's going to get 3 or 4 grabs. He could bust one of those. He's going to get plenty of carries. I think it's still Tate for me.
Jimmy Graham. Jeez.
It's a 16 league. I'm starting to
wonder
a little bit.
Maybe it's a 4-team league, and yeah.
Why don't you trade one of those? Then you won't have all these running back questions.
Yeah, be trade bait guy. You could probably get something for Cameron. No, I think I'd probably go with Tate. I think it's real close between him, Stacy, and Thomas. I think it's real close.
We're
going
to talk about when we get in the start sits. I think today is going to be the Wes Welker show for Denver, and so I'm going to use that as my tiebreaker and still go with Ben Tate, even if you throw Julius Thomas in that mix.
All right,
on the Falcons side, Rick, Matt Ryan, pedestrian, 292, no touchdowns, no picks. I guess it's a headline that he didn't throw a pick. Steven Jackson, this is... He's pointing at his laptop. I don't know what's going on. Steven Jackson, 16 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. Most of that on the first drive. 3 catches for 16 yards. Fantasy relevant, anyhow. You trust Steven Jackson at any point going forward?
I'm got to assume that through the course of the year, with Jackson being out so long, you have to have better options on your bench. You've either made some deals, made some waiver wire pickups, and solidified your team. I'm not willing to bank on him. Look, I mean, Atlanta is a total mess. I mean, I think Harry Douglas is about the only guy you can trust on that
and
team.
9 grabs again, only 79 yards, doesn't find the end zone. But in a PPR format, Harry Douglas is just a stud. This is every week, 8, 9, 10, 11 grabs each and every week. Roddy White, Rick, a guy we talked about. I know a guy you're high on. You hoarded up while he was out, and I agreed it was a good move. With 2 catches, 24 yards, I'm starting to think he's not going to put it together here for the home stretch. And I agreed with you as you were making deals and gathering up Roddy White everywhere you could, and it made sense to me. It's just not panning. I don't know if he's still not healthy. I don't know if it's him drawing the top coverage and letting Harry Douglas run free. I don't know what it is, but Roddy White just doesn't have it.
Well, when Jones and White were both out, somebody was getting the top coverage, and Harry Douglas was still performing. So, you know, irregardless, there's something wrong with Roddy White, number one, I think. He's just not healthy. Maybe, I have no idea. I mean, the season's bagged. It's hard sometimes to find out. I mean, maybe I guess times like this you find out about the team chemistry. I have a feeling that the face of the Falcons is going to change dramatically in the offseason.
Talk about a big – I mean, you're talking Super Bowl favorites who are now looking at the number one picks. So just a mess there in Atlanta. All right, Rick, well, before we get to our start sits, let's get to the call-in line, 646-478-4679. Our boy Jersey has done it. So can you. Jersey, good morning.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning, man. How you guys doing? Happy early Thanksgiving for next week, because I won't be talking until Sunday of next week. Hey, 2 quick questions for me and 1 for Junior. In my situation, standard league, I got Ben Tate. I actually have Monte Bellinger now, or Monte Ball, excuse me. I'm sitting trying to reference him because Giovanni Bernard is on a bye. Does that look like a good probably play this week? Because I don't have any other options. The waiver wire, there's nothing there. It's a standard league. And my other question is for tight end in this league, do I keep Hauser in, or do I take a chance on Carlson? There are my 2 questions for that, and I got 1 for the other league.
All right. So, yeah, obviously Tate's a fantastic start this week. He'll be a good replacement. Ball, his workload's going up. They're working him in. Got some goal line works. While Moreno still had a pretty heavy workload, they're definitely working Monte Ball in. He seems to have solved those fumble issues. So, yeah, I have no issue with Ball. I don't think you're certainly not going to find anything out on the waiver wire any better than that.
Right.
Hauser Carlson, Rick, that's a little different situation. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a real tough one. You know, I know Jersey brought up Hauser, a couple weeks ago when we were talking.
Right.
He actually hasn't been performing too awful badly. And, you know, depending on some of your, Carlson, I mean, it's almost 6.5 dozen the other to me. I think I'd roll with Hauser one more time.
Yeah, I tend to agree. He's worked his way in. He's got not a great matchup, but probably an equal matchup. So I think Hauser, just by virtue of being the starter there, Carlson the backup. Now, I like Carlson's chance for getting a touchdown, but I think Hauser probably is the safer pick. Let's put it that way.
Okay. And then Junior's team, it's that PPR league, 10-point rushing touchdown. Now, he never plays Tate because Tate never scores, you know what I mean, anything. And, you know, you get 100 yards rushing, you get another 5 bonus points to point every 10 yards. He's got Ridley and Woodhead in there now. But his options are Woodhead, Ridley, Ball, and Gianni Bernard, but he's on a bye. So basically it's Ridley, Woodhead, and Tate. Again, he never plays Tate. He seems to go with Ridley and Woodhead. But usually he goes with Gianni Bernard, but he's on a bye. But out of them, out of those three, Tate, Ridley and Woodhead. Who do you like with that scoring? You know, 10-point rushing touchdown. Again, Tate just doesn't seem to score.
Yeah, I like Ridley, obviously, there, number one. He's still got a pretty good matchup. This is the week I think he's got to get Tate in over Woodhead. Tate going up against that Kansas City – or, I'm sorry, Woodhead going up against that Kansas City defense. If Tate's going to reach the end zone, it's going to be this week against Jacksonville. I think Tate just has a huge week. And so this is the one – most in that format with 10 points – you know, per touchdown, and in a PPR, in most circumstances, I do like Woodhead, but Rick, I think this is the week Junior's got to get Tate in that lineup.
Yeah, Jersey, I'm going to have to go along with Rick here. I don't think that you can sit Ben Tate against Jacksonville at home, no matter what.
Okay. And then in my league, like I said, I usually go with Peterson every week. I got Peterson and Andre Brown in there now, but I also have DeMarco Murray, and I also have Shane Vereen. In that same format, you know, PPR lead, 10-point rushing touchdown. Again, who do you like? I got Brown in and now Peterson, but Peterson, man, he's been down on me. He didn't do nothing last week, too, and I was almost going to go with Vereen. I probably should have. I would have got more points. But, again, who do you like out of those four in that PPR 10-point rushing touchdown? You got to ride with Peterson still?
In my book, you do. Vereen, you had that one week where he looked good. And granted, he's a good player, but I cannot trust anybody sitting in Adrian Peterson on the chance that he runs for 180 and three touchdowns.
Which is common.
And you know he has that ability. Yeah, I mean, you have to roll with Peterson. I think Brown, now, does this league have a flex position?
No flex position, because what I did last week, because of what you call on a bye, Murray, I went with Peterson, and I went with Andre Brown. Vereen, I didn't, because I wanted to see what he did that first week back, what his role may be, you know what I mean? So at least Brown had that one week before I played him. So right now I have Peterson and Brown in. Like I said, I'm sitting Murray, and I'm sitting Vereen. I didn't know if that was the right choice to do.
Yeah, I think you have to. I know he's banged up. And watch when the inactives and everything come out, you know, about 9 minutes before the game here. If you hear something about Peterson being limited or anything, I just doubt it. My theory on it, Rick, and I think you tend to agree the same way, I would rather lose with Peterson in my starting lineup than lose with him on my bench and with 35 fantasy points, which he can do. I just can't take the risk there. I like what Vereen could do, and I wish you had a flex spot you could slide him into.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be some weeks we can talk about Vereen and Brown in a PPR format, but I think if Peterson is healthy and they hand him a helmet, you've got to get him in your lineup.
Yeah, I always look at guys like Peterson and Charles and so forth in like a suicide league format.
Right.
You know, if you get beat having those studs in there, then you get beat. But you did what you could to win, you know what I mean?
Especially since he was the first pick in the draft. So like you said, to shoot yourself, you'd be like, you idiot, why didn't you play him? And don't think and get yourself. But again, like last week, I actually lost I was winning by 10 because they gave me 43 points with Cincinnati's defense. But when it came back down, it took 10 away, so I lost 118-112. And again, the same old bull crap. Freaking flash. I can never catch a ball, Gordon. Outscores, and I was going to play Gordon, and I was going to sit A.J. Green. And I'll tell you what. All you listeners, do this. Anytime you got A.J. Green going against Hayden, sit A.J. Green. I've learned twice this year. I will always do that. So, again, second-guessed myself. That was my second loss there. So, again, it is what it is. But
there you go. Sound advice. Well, Jersey, we're backing up in the chat room questions, so we got to get rolling.
All right, good this week. Good luck this week, Jersey. Good to hear from you.
Good luck, guys. Thanks again. Take care. Have a nice weekend. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Rick, let's get to that chat room.
We have some quarterback worries.
I have some quarterback worries, too.
PPR, running touchdowns, 6 points, Tannehill or RG3?
When we get to the start sits, it's not going to make a lot of sense. But in that matchup, I think it's RG3. I don't trust Tannehill. Miami's such a mess. I don't trust anybody there.
Miami, it's not so much that they're a mess. I just don't think they're nearly as explosive as Washington is. And do I think Washington's going to win the game? No, but I think RG3 has potential of a lot of garbage time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I hate I hate playing for garbage time, but that's what you're going to be playing with RG3.
I agree. I'd go RG3. Okay, here's defense questions. We don't get a lot of those.
Okay.
The Giants defense versus Dallas or Washington versus San Francisco?
Probably Washington there. Their defense is horrific, but I think
I'm going Giants. I think they're stepping up. I think they're just
yeah, you're right. You know why? You know what? I'm going to agree with you. Here's why I'm going to change. I'm going to agree with you. I am fully expecting an absolute shootout between the Dallas and the Giants, which means it's going to be a 17-13 game.
Right.
So I'm going to agree with you. I think Kaepernick, I don't trust, but I think Frank Gore is going to carve up Washington if the Frank Gore owners enjoy this week. So I'm going to agree with you. It's the Giants. That's a rough spot to be in there, though.
It is. Yeah, maybe pick somebody.
Is
up
Indianapolis
off
still
wire.
Out there, or Tennessee?
Jacksonville.
I don't know about Jacksonville necessarily. But
it's tough.
Seriously, if you look at it, I mean, it's probably some defenses that might be out there on the waiver wire. You know, I'm scanning through here real quick, and the first one coming to mind is Indianapolis. Carson Palmer's propensity for turning the ball over, I'd play Indianapolis. I'd certainly Tennessee or Oakland against each other. I think that could be a turnover battle, a defensive struggle. So check out waiver wire, but between those two, let's go with the Giants.
Yeah. You know, one thing that we could probably and it's been kind of – As the week has progressed, and RG3 kind of
moot, he says,
retracted some of his comments. But Santana Moss actually took some exception to Griffin's remarks.
There's
about
been
the
a
last
lot
game,
of scuttle about that.
Saying that Griffin didn't consider himself the leader and take the blame for him. You know, whether it was deserved or not, he feels that's what the quarterback should do. And Griffin's comments about, nobody getting open and that sort of thing, you know, what kind of ripples does that send through the team? Is it Santana Moss only, or do you think he's the mouthpiece for multiple players? Do you really think it's an issue, a non-issue? How do you look at it?
You mentioned on Thursday's show some comments. I don't remember who made them on a show, LeVar Arrington and Chad Dukes. This is sort of a weird thing, Rick, but I listening to podcasts and stuff at work. That's a station I found, and I've listened to a little bit of that, so I'm familiar with their show and what they do. And I'll tell you, the only reason I bring that up is having listened to some of that, this is big news down in D.C., what's going on. So I don't think it's limited to Santana Moss. I also think Santana Moss is pretty close to your age, if I'm not mistaken, Rick. He's been in that locker room a long time. I think he speaks for the locker room, honestly, and I think there's more going on there, and I certainly think what he thinks will carry a lot of weight in that locker room, being your age as he is. So I think there's more to it. I think there's some discord there.
So he's in his prime.
Prime death age, I guess, certainly, if that's what you consider prime. So I think there's more to it. Now Moss's contributions have gone down. RG3 is certainly more valuable on the field, but I think in the locker room, anything Santana Moss says or thinks is gonna carry a lot of weight.
Yeah, and just quoting Santana Moss, it basically the statement, at the end of the day, I was seen with the ball in my hand. As a quarterback, I'm saying, and if I didn't get it done, then I'm going to let you know it was me. Whether it was me or not,
right?
It was me, and I'm going to get better, and we're going to get better together. That's what he's saying, and I think there's some credence to that. You see a Tom Brady in a press conference after a tough loss. It's not, well, Gronk didn't get open on that play whatever. I didn't make a good – even that controversial ending with the last New England game with the penalty, the no call against Carolina. Brady says
– he underthrew it.
Yeah, I could have thrown it better.
Yeah.
We're not going to go there. We should have played better. There were plays we could have made, and we didn't do it.
And a guy not really likable, but I got to tell you – listening to everything. That's what quarterbacks do. Ben Roethlisberger is a big day. No matter what happens, he takes it all on him. And
exactly.
I think this is what your franchise quarterbacks are supposed to do. Before we get in our starts or sits, Rick, on Twitter, and I have botched this one up once or twice on the show, so I'm going to try it again. At IonTheSkyFF. I think I got it this right this time.
Yeah, it's not Ian Dasky or anything
mangled it all up before, so I think I got it that time. So he needs two from these guys and ends it with UGG, so that'll prepare you for where we're going. Needs two from Nate Burleson, Wright from Minnesota, Terrence Williams, Hopkins, and Cameron from Cleveland. Needs two of those, Rick.
Well, Terrence Williams is tops that list to me.
Even with Miles Austin coming back this week?
Miles Austin doesn't worry me a bit. He's going to pull a hamstring tie in his shoe.
Fair enough. All right.
I'm going to go Williams. And, you know, Cameron should be the guy, to be honest with you. But, boy, he has really disappeared. I think I'd roll with Hopkins. I think it's a tasty matchup against Jacksonville. There should be enough to go around.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Cameron's close for me. I think he finds the end zone this week. I think he has a legitimate shot there. The Steelers are a little bit vulnerable to the tight end. But I'm going to agree. I'll go Williams, Hopkins. If you want to play it a little safer, if you're just looking, if you want to play for a touchdown, maybe take Cameron over Hopkins. But that'd be the order, Williams, Hopkins, Cameron, Burleson. I'm going to have to see it first.
Yeah, Burleson is intriguing because look, he was actually having a pretty good little season going into the few games that he played before he broke his arm and his car wreck. And there really hasn't been much anything stepping up in Detroit. I think what Burleson does more than anything is open up more for Calvin Johnson.
Absolutely.
Who could even be more monstrous than he already is.
Yeah, no question about it. So, Rick, let's jump in. We're about 20 minutes away from Scott Fish of the FFOASIS joining us to answer your questions throughout the week. Let's jump into some quick start sits here, and we'll make our picks in rapid-fire succession here right before Scott comes on.
We have nothing but time.
All right. Well, Rick, my start of the week's going to be pretty obvious. You're probably starting him anyhow. I just want to go on record as saying I think Wes Welker is going to go completely off this week. Good with the concussions, been practicing all week. There's a bit of a revenge factor there. And you got Peyton Manning, hates the Patriots. You have Wes Welker in the unceremonious way he was exited from New England. I think these two are set up just to put up a monster game against New England. I think you're starting Welker anyhow. This isn't going out on a ledge. But I think Wes Welker is probably the number one fantasy performer this week.
Yeah, that wasn't the boldest start that you've ever come up with. But I tend to agree. He's going against New Englanders probably – some motivation there on his part, and I don't think that there's going to be a shortage of passes heading his way.
No, I think that him and Manning have been cooking something up all week.
Yeah. Okay, my start is Ben Tate at home against Jacksonville. We were just talking about that. You know, Jacksonville gives up 139 yards per game, which is the most in the league. Houston's most likely will not fall behind early, forcing Case Keenum to carry the team into catch-up mode. You know, I think they can control the clock with Tate, use him for short, safe passes. Plus, Jacksonville has given up 15 rushing touchdowns. I think he should have a big day.
Absolutely. So, jumping into the Citric, this one is a little bit bolder, and I don't know that you have anybody on your bench who you can start over this guy. But Jersey brought it up, what Joe Hayden does to the top receiver of every team and what he does to a talent the likes of A.J. Green. With Antonio Brown this week, Rick, especially with Emmanuel Sanders out, Jericho Cotchery being that number two guy, not only is Antonio Brown going to get Joe Hayden, he may see his share of double coverage. So you may still have to start him because you don't have anybody better on your bench. But Antonio Brown, I think, is set up for a really tough week this week.
It's very possible. We saw what Joe Hayden does to some of these top receivers. And Antonio Brown is a top receiver. However, you know, did you draft him as your number one guy? And
probably low end one, high end two is where he was drafted.
But I agree with you. It's tough to sit him, but you may be wise to throw somebody in, depending on your lineup. Of course,
it's going to depend. You hear some of these receivers that have emerged. There's a lot of teams with some talented receivers. Keenan Allen is a guy I'd play over Antonio Brown this week, et cetera, sort of guys in that realm. Now, don't go pick up Jerome Simpson off the waiver wire and start him over Antonio Brown. Don't go crazy here. I just think he's set up for a rough week. Maybe temper your expectations. Plug your nose if you have to play Antonio Brown.
I agree.
As you should.
You know, we are Fleeger and Briggs. This is Silent Fantasy Inside Slant, Sunday morning Inside Slant. Talking all your fantasy, and I am giving you a sit today.
All right.
Now, I'm with you. I don't know if you have a better option on your bench, but Phillip Rivers going against that Kansas City defense. Kansas City's coming off a loss. Historically, Rivers doesn't do real well against Kansas City, especially as of late. and they're playing in Kansas City. And, you know, in my league of consequence, me and you going head-to-head, I have Phillip Rivers. I have him on the bench in favor of Casey Kasem going against Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's not great. The way Phillip Rivers likes to turn the ball over and the way Kansas City likes to create turnovers. Yeah, here's a scenario I see a ton in questions we get, and I have it in some leagues I'm in. You waited too long for your quarterback, and you've got Eli Manning, and you got Phillip Rivers. This is week to play Eli Manning, I think, over Phillip Rivers going against Dallas. I agree. There's probably not a ton of situations where you have anything better on the bench, but if you have a Casey Kasem, I think if you have an Eli Manning, there are guys to play over Phillip Rivers, and I agree with you. It's going to be a rough day for him.
And for first-time listeners, it's Case Keenum. We know it is not really Casey Kasem.
We don't have any first-time listeners, Rick. So on the watch list for me, Rick, this week, a guy I want to talk about, a question I faced going against you in the League of Consequence. I got Chris Ivory in my flex spot going against Baltimore. The last two games, Baltimore's given up some big games to the running back, but still to this point, they're only giving up 13 points a week to the running back position. I think maybe this is me trying to talk myself into it. As bad as Geno Smith is, and as a guy who spent last week on Geno Smith Island, I can attest to how bad it is. I think Ivory's workload's just going to be heavy. This is going to be a 25-30 carry type of game for Chris Ivory, and I think I'm hoping he has some production. This guy's teetering on the edge of a flex play for me this week.
Yeah, Chris Ivory and Belial Powell, I think, both going to get a pretty good workload against Baltimore today. And I got mixed emotions about them. With what Ivory's been doing, I want to get him in the lineup. But I tell you what, I'd really temper any expectations against that Baltimore defense.
Here's
today.
Who I have him up against, and you know this, but for the listeners, it came down to him or Ryan Matthews, my boy, my dog, my main man,
against
Ryan
Kansas
Matthews
City.
Going up against Kansas City. So in that matchup for me, it became Chris Ivory. And he could have a big game. The last two games, teams have had success against Baltimore, but by and large, you know what it comes down to, and it's something I'm going to be watching, although I still don't think there's any scenario where I play Matthews over Ivory this week. But Nada, he's 50-50 game time decision. If he doesn't play, and that's been the difference the last two weeks, if he's out, I think Ivory sets up fine. If Nada plays and can get through the game, I agree, he does struggle. So that's one of those ones you're going to want to monitor right up till game time to see if he plays.
I agree. Okay, my watch is Matt McGloin. And I put him on my watch list because as far as fantasy points allowed by wide receivers, Tennessee is a number one defense this year. And I think it's just a good idea to keep an eye on this kid to see how he handles this, because he may be somebody you might want to target next year in your draft. And, I pay attention to him because I don't think Terrell Pryor, as we like to kind of joke, is the Raider quarterback of the future.
No, if there's any such thing. And chance he's going to be active this week and still not started. He's a game-time decision, but not to play, just to be in the lineup. McGloin expected to start, which tells you sort of where they're at with Pryor. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Well, Rick, we've got about 12 minutes until Scott Fish of the FF Oasis comes on to answer your questions. Let's go ahead and pick these games, try to get through them all before the top of the hour. The game we were just talking about, Rick, the Jets at the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. Hey, before we did that, I did want to get one more start
all right,
here real quick.
Get one in.
I think Kobe Fleener, his targets have been on a rise of late. And, the Cards surrender the most tight end fantasy points. And Kobe Fleener is not one of these guys that's an every week start the time. I think he might be a good start today against the Cardinal defense.
I agree. I actually had him on my watch list, Rick, with the same note. Arizona allows the most fantasy points to opposing tight ends coming off that 100-yard game last week. Seems to finally be what we thought last year. Everybody drafted him last year, coming with Andrew Luck, teammates of Andrew Luck in college. I think it's starting to all come together, and this is a nice little matchup for him.
Yes, indeed.
All right, back to the Jets at Baltimore as you try to delay. You must not know who's going to win this one.
Well, I really don't. But, New York's supposed to win this week. They've gone win-loss in succession all season long, and they're on a week that they should win. So I'm going to the Jets by a field goal.
All right.
That's the only thing I can base it on. I think it's going to be close. Baltimore, boy, I tell you what, they are hot and cold. You don't know what you're getting from them.
I tell you, I'm going to agree, just because it's fun, and these things have a funny way of playing out for extended periods of time. This every other week, this complete train wreck of a performance, and then the Jets come out and win a game you don't expect them to. I expect Baltimore to win this game, which means the Jets will. I'm going to agree, the Jets by a field goal. Steelers at the Browns in the snow, Rick.
Now, just when you think Pittsburgh's coming around and should win against a team they should beat, what happens?
They lose.
Exactly.
In ugly fashion.
You know, the Steelers are coming off a great second-half performance where they shut down the Lions and came back to win. The Browns lost big to the Bengals. You know, it comes down to Ben and Campbell. I like Ben.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Steelers win this game. I would not be surprised if they lose. I'm going to take the Steelers, but with one caveat. When the Steelers get their first offensive possession, if they come out and they get in the huddle and they throw a wide receiver screen, they're going to lose. If they come out in that no huddle, what they've been doing, it's not been a hurry up, just a no huddle and letting Ben call the plays. He's got himself on a roll doing this. So you're going to know after the first offensive play of the Steelers exactly how the game's going to end. So then all you Steeler fans can flip to the red zone channel because you're going to know what's going to happen. So I'm going to take the Steelers in a tight one, but with that one caveat. Tampa Bay at Detroit, Rick.
Yeah, I think the Bucs' win streak ends here. I think the Lions will come out smoking at home and not look back. The Bucs are playing better, but this time I think they're in too deep. Stafford and company, I got them 38-20.
Yeah, I think after probably the worst half of football, worst-case scenario for Detroit in the second half of that game last week, I think they're angry. They've just got way too many weapons for that Tampa Bay defense. I agree as well. I think Detroit big. Minnesota at Green Bay, all of a sudden very interesting with the quarterback issues in Green Bay.
I tell you, you know what's needed in Green Bay neighborhood?
Aaron Rodgers.
Mr. Rodgers, yeah.
Boo.
Get it?
Boo.
No, they really need Aaron Rodgers. Okay.
Oh, jeez. That's just pathetic.
It is, but I like it. But, you know, the Packers, what they need is the Vikings at home. I think they couldn't ask for a better matchup. And I don't think it's going to be a whitewash by any means. There's still Adrian Peterson, and we know what he can do. But I got Packers in a close one, 24-20.
Christian Ponder versus Matt Flynn, if I have that right, Rick. Is Flynn expected to get the start this week? Adrian Peterson versus Eddie Lacy. This game is close. I like Minnesota's defense a little bit better. I'm going to take Minnesota doesn't get too many opportunities to win at Lambeau. They have an opportunity this week. I think they seize it, play the spoiler, and I think Minnesota finds a way to pull this one out.
Wow.
Jacksonville at Houston, a battle of futility there.
Yeah, I mean, this game is nothing more than to see which team is worse in the AFC South. Maybe the league itself, be honest with you. Yeah, Jacksonville's been scrappy, but they don't really have the talent. They're lacking talent across the board. Texans are a mess, and now Kubiak wants to start Keenum again after yanking him in the third quarter last week. You know, Andre is much happier with Keenum in there, and the Jags defense is bad. I got Texans 30, Jags 21.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Rick, had Jacksonville not beat Tennessee, had Jacksonville come in this game winless, knowing that it's so rare for a team to go winless, this is the spot I'd take Jacksonville. Jacksonville has their win. They're happy. I'm going to take Houston as well, and we'll move on from that. Now, there's logic there. That's Vegas level stuff.
They've got
right
their
there.
Win.
They got their win, so the everything's back in balance, and Houston wins this game. San Diego at Kansas City coming off their first loss of the year.
Yeah, you know, the Chiefs are coming off a loss to Denver, and they're at home. San Diego has been floundering, really, and this Kansas City defense is not a kind defense. And, you know, the only caveat I put there, could Kansas City actually be looking beyond this game to the revenge factor of Denver next week? But I don't think they do because it is a division game. So although I think it's going to be close, I like Kansas City by a touchdown.
I don't think, Rick, that Kansas City's a 14-2 or 13-3 team. I really don't. I love what they've done. I've been thoroughly impressed. But I do think they're looking ahead. They getting Denver at home. In my upset special this week, I don't know how. I can't tell you how. I really can't. But I think San Diego finds a way to win this game, making the game with Denver next week of the utmost importance. I don't know how. Now, grant you.
You don't. How are they going to win?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
There we go.
That's what it all comes down to for me. Carolina at Miami. Carolina, the hottest team in the league right now.
Yeah, you know, and this is an intriguing matchup. You know, Carolina's rolling, and they're convincing people of their credibility with wins over San Francisco and New England. Miami got back on track. They're at 5-5, but, you know, do they have the weapons to counter the Panther defense? I'm not so sure. They're both good defenses, but I like Carolina in a close game. I got a 26-22.
My only thought, do you let down after you beat New England in the fashion you did on Monday night at home? Is there a letdown there? I don't know. There we are back to that. I'm not going to have the guts to predict it. Miami's just a complete disaster right now. I'm going to take Carolina, but I will say I wouldn't be shocked if this is a sort of a letdown game for them, but I'm going to go ahead and keep them rolling. Chicago at St. Louis. Boy, is it ever hard to pick a game when anybody plays St. Louis. You do not know what you're going to get with that team.
No, you don't. I mean, that's the thing with St. Louis. You think that they're just the dregs of the West, and then, you know, a couple weeks ago they come out destroyed.
Hang 40 on Indianapolis.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was like 38-8 or something. Like, it was terrible. You know, the Rams, you know, they went into Indianapolis and destroyed the Colts, just like we mentioned. Then they went on a bye. So what, do they have a letdown, or are they really building on that? I'm not real sure about that. I like the Bears. Basically resurging. Cutler's been hurt. McCown's doing good. He's picking up the pace. You know, the teams are moving the ball in Chicago, but the Bears are still 6-4. They're tied for the division lead. I like the Bears since preseason, and I think they're the superior team right here, 30-19.
Yeah, Bears, a ball-hawking defense. When it all comes down to it, just more weapons on the offensive side for the Bears. I'm going to agree the Bears win that one on the road. Very interesting game. We talked a lot about this on Thursday on the show on the Armed Forces Radio Network at the AFRN. Give them a follow. Let them know we mentioned them, please. Indianapolis at Arizona, the Arians Bowl is basically what it is.
Yeah, and this is one that is, you know, like you said, we talked about it extensively, and it's very interesting because if they fall behind, Colts I'm talking about, in the second half like they have been doing
they're
against that Arizona
back.
Defense, it's going to be very difficult. However, I think they're going to wake up a little bit. Even though they're in Arizona, I think they do wake up. I don't think they fall behind like that. And, you know, Carson Palmer did have that big game last week. I don't think he goes that big. They've got a 3-game winning streak. I think it ends here in a real close game. I like the Colts by about a touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. I think Indianapolis.
With that caveat, if they fall behind against that
over.
Arizona defense,
yeah.
I don't think they're coming
back.
Yeah,
they go down 10. It's done. I agree with that 100%. I'm going to agree. I like Indianapolis in this matchup. I think with their pass rush, they got a sneaky good pass rush, and Arizona has troubles on the offensive line. And once Carson Palmer starts getting hits, when he starts turning the ball over and making bad decisions. So I'm going to agree. I'm going to go with the Colts. And what I hope is a close one. I'm looking forward to that game. Tennessee at Oakland, Rick.
Well, you know, new quarterbacks are always the happy little buzz, and I think McGloin is no exception. You know, he brought that win last week to Oakland, and everything seems okay. But as I mentioned, Tennessee's pretty good defense, and they're pretty rough on wide receivers. So we could be giving this kid some trouble. And I think the Titans' worst loss to the Niners this year has been 14 points. All their other losses have been single digits. And I like Titans. I think it's going to be a fairly close game, but I take them about 28-24.
Yeah, I agree. I think a good spot for Ryan Fitzpatrick here. Going to be ugly. I don't know if I'd spend a lot of time on this game, but I'm going to take Tennessee as well. Dallas at the Jets, your classic coin flip game there.
Giants.
Jets. Dallas at the Giants.
Well, you know, I've got to roll with the prediction that it's going to be a shootout, which means it may be 14-10.
Exactly.
But,
3-0 at halftime.
You know, Big Blue can tie Dallas with a win. I mean, that's really something to contemplate. If they beat Dallas today, they can tie with them, and they'll be within one of Philadelphia. And believe me, everything in my gut keeps telling me to take Dallas coming off a bye, but I'm going for 5 straight, and I'm taking the Giants by 3.
Wow. But like I said, it's a coin flip for me. Just to be a contrarian, Rick, I'm going to take Dallas. I really don't know. You never know what Dallas team's going to show up. You never know what Tony Romo is going to show up. All I know is I hope he puts up about 425 and 5 touchdowns in the win. So,
I hope he gets knocked out first game.
Well, that's
first
not
play.
Nice. Denver at New England, the hype game of the
I
week.
Will be watching this game. Trust
you will
me.
Be asleep before
no,
the first quarter.
I
there.
Will be watching this game.
Sucking ceiling tiles off the ceiling
and
in your chair.
Like we mentioned with Russ, I see two things sticking out in this game to me. I think Peyton Manning and the Broncos have too many weapons, and this is not a playoff game, so if you're going to take Manning against Brady, take it now in a regular season. I like the Broncos by a touchdown.
I agree 100% based solely on that. It's the regular season. This is when Peyton Manning gets his knocks, and when they get to the playoffs, it'll probably end up a different way, and you know these two are probably going to meet in the AFC Championship game one way or the other. I, too, will take Denver this week. And Monday night, Rick, I'll get Scott on the line as you talk about it. San Francisco at Washington.
All right. Washington, they're in a bit of a disarray, I think, with some of that internal squabbling. And you're a listener to the show, you know, in the preseason, I've said that San Francisco wasn't the juggernaut a lot of people thought they were. But I do know that they're a much better team than Washington. And I got to go 49ers. I got them 31-22.
Yeah, I've got 49ers by approximately 35, I think. 35 to 40, somewhere in that range. So I can hear him on the line with joining us now to answer all your questions this week from the FFOAces.com, Scott Fish. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, guys. Good to be here. How's it going?
We are just wonderful, Scott, and is glad to have you in on the Sunday morning Inside Slant yet again with the Machine.
How's the Machine doing after last week?
I think he's not doing too well. We probably need to get a new model in here. That one might be broken by now.
Well, there was some talk from you on Twitter, I believe, of some inappropriate touching on Ben Roethlisberger's part. I was a little worried about the Machine's mindset after that.
Like I said, I think we need a new Machine after all of that. I do have to say, though, last week Michael Floyd and I had a good time hanging out on our island. I don't know how that Geno Smith island was doing, but ours was pretty nice.
It was a little chilly. Yeah, I could see Michael Floyd Island from where I was, and it looked like you were having a better time than Geno and I were. I have to admit that.
I made a comment on the show there the past week, Scott, that Geno Smith was outscored by Vince Young and I forget who the other guy I mentioned now, and they don't even play anymore.
That's hilarious. Maybe they should look at bringing back Brett Favre. That might help their team.
There we go.
Now we're in. We'll get Rachel Nichols on his front lawn again. I miss those days. So before we jump into the question, Scott, what's new over at the FS Oasis this week?
Oh, we got Chris Gooden rocking the start sits, and we got Zach Law with a couple winter brews, Accumulation and Sierra Nevada's Narwhal. They're wintery brews for you, for those beer enthusiasts.
That sounds awesome. I like those winter brews because they're usually darker and a little more robust, which is what I like.
I like Bud Light.
Yeah, I know. It's scary. Before we hit to the other questions, we have one in the chat room here. It's a big caveat here. Okay. If Adrian Peterson can't go,
all right.
Danny Woodhead, Monty Ball, Jordan Cameron in a PPR flex.
Woodhead, Ball, Cameron.
Boy, that's interesting if Peterson's the flex decision.
Well, I think not necessarily. He'd probably move his flex up to
the... Yeah, he's probably got a better running back that he's going to move in or something.
Ball, Cameron,
probably
Woodhead. God, I don't know. Woodhead, I guess. Woodhead or Cameron for me. I don't know how much I trust Ball just yet. No, Sean Marino is still getting a pretty good workload. You know what, Rick? I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to go Cameron here. We have recommended against Cameron. I like his chances. He's the kind of guy that will drive the Steelers nuts. So I'm going to go with Jordan Cameron.
You know, I think in a PPR format, I think I'm still going to gamble with Woodhead. I think he's good for the catches. In a few yards, I don't like them going against Kansas City at all, but they're going to move the ball somewhat, and they're going to score some. And I think I'd roll with Danny Woodhead.
Yeah, I like the PPR. I didn't check out what the Machine has to say, but I do like the PPR potential of Woodhead. I understand the Cameron love, and I wouldn't start Monte Ball if I had 20 flex spots. So...
So,
yeah, but
tell,
on that 21st
tell us what you really
one,
think.
On that 21st one, though, Monte Ball is in, guaranteed.
Definitely.
Okay, well, let's hit the questions here. We have a quarterback question starting off. Ben, RG3, or McCown?
Okay, Ben, RG3, or McCown. I really don't like RG3 this week. I don't like that matchup here. I think I don't like waiting for garbage time. He could have garbage time production. I don't like waiting for that. Again, back to if they let Ben run that no huddle, he is on a roll, and I think he has a big week this week, sort of tortured the Browns historically over his career. I'm going to hope Todd Haley isn't being a stubborn fool again this week and throwing 17 wide receiver screens. I'm going to go on the hope that they continue to go with what's worked for them over the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to take Big Ben against the Browns.
Yeah, first blush, I really like, you know, and I had a conversation with this guy.
What guy?
The one that sent in this thing.
Oh,
his buddy of mine lives in Florida.
I thought you meant Big Ben.
No. Well, yeah, I talked to Ben a lot, too. But he was telling me about the Machine Island.
Yeah, and all the
inappropriate, Machine Island, yeah.
Inappropriate touching of the machine.
Oh, yeah, a lot of buttons being pushed on that island, buddy. Anyway, he actually has RG3, but Ben was available and was wanting to know, do you drop RG3 and pick up Ben, you know, for the remainder of the season?
No, that's a different story.
I told him in that situation I'd probably roll with RG3. If you had them both on your lineup, I think I would roll with Ben this week. So, I mean, it's kind of a mixed answer there, but just on the face value of the question, I think I would go Ben. But permanently, I don't know if I would drop RG3 and pick up Ben. Scott?
Well, the machine says RG3. I think I would highly consider, well, it depends on how playoff bound he is, but if he has McCown as the third option, I would highly consider dropping McCown for Ben for the rest of the way, just because we don't know how many more weeks McCown might play. Other than that, the machine says RG3. I am going to lean RG3 as well. I just think that game's going to have more points than we think it will, and I think RG3 likes to step up in when he's on TV. So
right.
I'm going to give the slight edge to RG3.
Okay. You know, going back to your comment, actually McCown is available as well. He has He has Dalton on the bench, and that's what he actually has been riding Dalton, believe
it or not. I dropped
Dalton
for Roethlisberger as well.
I think I would too, quite frankly. But, I think I would keep RG3, so that's basically that. All right, I'm in a must situation.
Me too.
My running backs have been banged up, but who do I start for my running back two?
Okay.
D'Angelo Williams, Lamar Miller, Joik Bell. It's PPR.
Oh, ouch. So D'Angelo Williams. I'm going to go, Rick. Boy, I'm going to go D'Angelo Williams here. I think they try to run the ball this week a lot. It's tough to throw on Miami. I think you're going to see a big dose of the running game. I don't know what the distribution of carries is going to be. Hope he breaks along. Lamar Miller, I just can't take the chance in the way that Carolina defense is playing. And Joik Bell, boy, he's just sort of disappeared. All the potential and what they did with him. Yeah, I guess you hope Reggie Bush fumbles early again and he gets the bulk of the workload. I'm going to go D'Angelo Williams there, but I don't feel real warm and fuzzy about it. I mean, might need some of those winter brews to warm and fuzzy me up a little bit.
No, I'll be honest with you. I don't feel real warm and fuzzy about any of those guys. And look, D'Angelo's going against Miami. That's not the best defense in the world. And plus, you know, he loses these goal line carries to Cam. He loses them to Tolbert. And now he's splitting time with Jonathan Stewart. Lamar Miller's going against the Carolina defense. I don't know if I wouldn't roll with Joik Bell in this situation. And that's where I'm going, Joik Bell.
Wow, okay. So you're going to be on Joik Bell Island. Let's see here. Lamar Miller is what the machine says, also an island. And I have to agree with Flieger on D'Angelo Williams. I think the Miami matchup is much, much better than the other two. I think just about every running back that's faced Miami, starting running back, save Mendenhall and Trent Richardson, has gotten 10, 11, 12 fantasy points. So I like the safety in D-Will, even with Tolbert and Cam stealing some possible touchdowns.
Okay, well, I will enjoy myself on Joik Bell Island and Lamar Miller Island for the machine. Well, you know, you can make all the comments you want, Mr. Negative 6.63 points with Geno Smith Island. We'll wait till next week before you can make fun of
it. You get one sledgehammer and you just swing it nonstop.
Oh, it's easy. It's multiple. You know, it's good. You ever see Misery?
Yeah.
I have, yeah.
It's called hobbling. Hey, PPR, MJD or Ben Tate? I think this is easy win this week. They're playing each other.
We've had a lot of MJD, Ben Tate this week, and it's Ben Tate for me. Just the ceiling so much higher.
Yep, Ben Tate for everyone. Then that's I don't know that you can find a caliber Fleeger bullet big enough for this one for me.
It'd be like a Fleeger cannonball.
It is.
Could you picture, Rick, my face on a cannonball screaming towards you coming out of like a pirate ship or something?
No,
would
but
anything
I do.
Be more terrifying?
But
I think I just figured out something to add to my Photoshop project.
I mean, you are going to let us know when this is done, I hope.
I will. I will for sure. Yeah, everyone will know.
Well, yeah, I am afraid of that.
You're
going to
flip on ESPN one morning, Rick, and there's going to be you with your shirt off.
Yeah, doing that twerking or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you got to do twerk.
No, I.
Oh God, I
don't picture your face on a cannonball, but I do daily picture it on a target. So, okay. It is interesting on this question, Scott. What is the difference with Tate and MJD according to the machine?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Tate. It's about 12.5 to about 12. It's really, really close.
Yeah, I mean, you know, MJD seems to be able to find the end zone against some of these tougher defenses. I don't know. I just like the matchup against Jacksonville. Maybe we're reading too much into this that it's, you know, just a huge feast for Houston today. I mean, let's face it, these guys stink, and they're in a rotten division, and they play each other pretty tough. So it may be a pretty close matchup.
Yeah, I hope Jacksonville wins for the sake of the Vikings. We currently have the tiebreaker if all of them hit at 2-8 or 2-whatever. So,
all right. No homie in him, huh? That's for sure. Okay, Le'Veon Bell or Rashard Jennings?
Oh, I love what Bell's doing. They've really worked him into the passing game. But I got to tell you what, Jennings just continues to get it done. Here's a guy I've recommended against the past 3 weeks, and quite foolishly, at that matter, you're looking at Jennings. You're talking 340 yards and two touchdowns over the last three games. Plus, he does his fair share in the passing game. I think the matchups are about equal. I think it's Jennings for me this week, Rick. And I'm a big Le'Veon Bell guy right now. But in that matchup, I like Jennings.
You know, I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell just simply because of the Joe Hayden, and it's going to be cold. And I think it's going to be in the trenches a little bit, and you know, some short passes of the running backs and so forth, and I think they're going to have to get the running game going, and I think they will against Cleveland somewhat. I'm going Le'Veon Bell over this one. I don't like Oakland going against Tennessee, quite frankly. Not that Tennessee is a vaunted defense by any stretch, but you know, they got Matt McGloin as a quarterback in there. I think there's going to be a lot of focus on Jennings this week.
Yeah, well, the machine has Le'Veon Bell and has him by a landslide. I don't remember catching if this was PPR or not, but if it's PPR, I would lean Jennings. If not, what was that?
It did not say.
Did not say. Okay. Well, I think the thing about Jennings has been stepping up a lot lately, and Tennessee, I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All but 1 week has allowed at least 10 fantasy points to a rusher and over 20 to five of them. I think I might just lead Rashard Jennings. He's been too good lately, and Tennessee's just been letting it up.
All right, so I will trust myself with the machine, and you guys can cuddle up and you know, enjoy yourselves on Rashard Jennings there.
I think I'd rather hang out on an island with Scott than the machine, especially after the whole Roethlisberger thing, the incident the machine has had.
Okay, we have I have Russell Wilson on a bye, and I'm one win out of the playoffs right now. Boy, this guy's putting some pressure on us here. Glennon or Tannehill?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't know. You start, Rick. I got to think about that one for a minute.
Boy, I'll tell you what. I think I'd have to go Glennon. He's starting to be a little more comfortable in this situation. If Rainey continues to go. I mean, they've got a little bit of running game going. You know, Vincent Jackson had a huge game last week. I just think he's starting to fall into it a little bit. Tannehill scares me. Going against that Carolina defense, I think I'm going to go Glennon.
Yeah, it's a matchup for me. I think Detroit, you can certainly move the ball on Detroit a little more. It's Glennon. It's close for me. Tannehill, I don't even know if I want to call him the safer play. He's the more experienced player. But I'm going to agree. I'm going to go Glennon and hope that game turns into a bit of a shootout, which is certainly a possibility anytime the Lions are involved.
Well, this one's going to be a sweep. The machine has Glennon by a small margin, and I just think that Detroit-Tampa Bay game, Vegas has the over-under line is the second highest of the week, and I think that's pretty accurate. I can see both teams being in the 20s, probably Detroit in the 30s, Tampa Bay in the 20s, probably a couple touchdowns for Glennon in there. Go Glennon for me.
Okay. Hey, this is the Sunday morning Inside Slant. We're Fleeger and Briggs. We have Scott Fish and the Machine in, and we are answering the rest of the questions. Yeah, we got about 15 more minutes. So here's one to, well, I tell you, this is a tough one. I had to throw this one in here. Chris Ivory or Ray Rice?
Oh,
they're playing each other, and it is PPR. That's the question. And, we know.
I'll tell you what, Ray Rice hasn't, in a PPR, you think that would be the tiebreaker in a PPR, hasn't really been involved in that passing game. I think it sounds crazy, Ray. I think I'm going to go with Chris Ivory here. Go Jets, number one run defense. Ray Rice, pretty comfortable with that, about 1.8 yard per carry. You're coming off that big game. I don't buy it, not against that Jets defense. I think Chris Ivory gets 25-30 touches this game. More likely, I would think, to find the end zone. I can't believe I'm saying it. I'm going to go Chris Ivory.
Yeah, it's – you know, and this is coming off a huge game from Ray Rice last week. And I'm just afraid to trust him still. I mean, I know they had that big game, but I tell you what, I don't like the teeth of that Jets defense, and you know they're not going to let Ray Rice beat them. They're going to make Joe Flacco beat them.
And historically, if it's not going well early, the Ravens will go away from Ray Rice, and I think that's what it becomes. It almost becomes a volume thing. If he doesn't bust one early, if it's not going well, they will go away from him, and that's when they do lose as well.
Yeah.
I can see him walking out of there with 8 or 9 carries. It's just what happens, and I'm going to look like a fool probably. There's a 51% chance I look like a fool coming out of this, but it's Ivory for me.
I think I'm going to have to agree with you. I hate doing that because I'm a proponent of you know, you play the guys that get you there. You
drafted him in the
top.
But
he hasn't been doing it. That's the thing. It's not like Ray Rice has been on a 2 or 3 game skid. I mean, he hasn't been doing much all year. He had the one big game this last year and last week. And I think I'm going to lean Ivory because I think the Jet defense is going to focus on Rice and not let him beat him.
Wow, you guys pretty much said everything I was thinking to say, and I thought I'd be on an island here, but I'm also going with Ivory. For many of the reasons you said, I think if the Jets can hold him down or even get ahead, Baltimore is going to go away from Rice. The machine says Rice because that's what the machine does, but I'll take Ivory and side with you guys.
So, the machine is on Ray Rice Island, and let's see, what was the other island he was on? I wrote it down here.
He's on Lamar Miller, and you're on Joique Bell, I believe.
Right. You don't have to say it in such a, you know, there, Scott. Jeez.
Well, to be fair, it's Joique Bell Island.
I'm just saying it knowing that I'm going to enjoy talking about it next week.
All right, well.
Gearing up. He's teasing,
you know,
next week.
Visionaries are always made fun of. I'm sure they made fun of Christopher Columbus before he went broke and died in prison. Okay. We will pick two in PPR. Alshon Jeffrey. T.Y. Hill, you better get your little pick.
You can stop there, actually, I think, after those first two.
Okay, where are we at? Alshon Jeffrey, T.Y. Hilton, Reuben Randall, Ace Sanders, and Terrence Williams.
Yeah, I think Scott nailed it. Scott is a seer, a visionary, as you claimed yourself to be. That's Jeffrey and Hilton pretty easily. Hilton does make you nervous going up against Peterson, but they're going to fling the ball around, and it's pretty easy for me.
Yeah, me too, as far as that goes. You know, the only caveat may be Randall. I mean, they tend to be a little skewed in New York sometimes. But you know, if I'm betting money, it's Jeffrey and Hilton easily.
You know, the machine agrees with us, and I think even if they put Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu on him double covered all game, I still might want Hilton over the other three. So, Alshon Jeffrey, T.Y. Hilton.
All right, we
Rick,
got
before
him.
We move on, we've got a call on the line, area code 804. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
We're doing good.
All right. Got four quick questions for you today. We got to try to sneak into the playoffs this week.
All right.
All
Shoot.
Right. It's a 10-team PPR league, and I need to start one of the or two of these guys. I got Reggie Bush, Ben Tate, Andre Brown, and Shane Vereen.
Well, that's a good spot to be in going into the
playoffs.
Vereen in a PPR. Bush, Tate, Brown. I can't sit Reggie Bush, Rick, even with those fumble issues. If he's not fumbling and he keeps playing, I think it's
all right. Just cut.
There's Tate, Brown, and Tate. So, go. I think Bush is number one. I've already looked at Brown over Tate. I know it's a PPR.
Go
ahead. Maybe we lost Scott. Are you still there?
No, I'm here. Oh. I'm here. I just hear a lot of background noise right now.
Okay. Yeah,
I think I would probably lean Bush and Brown personally. Out of those
two. Yeah. So that's two and two there, Rick.
Okay,
make it unanimous. Come
well,
on.
I tell you what, we'll give him Reggie Bush, and you know, let him have a nice little majority there. I think I'd go Ben Tate.
So you got to be the. So if you want to be on the side of rightness, it's going to be Bush and Brown. If you want to be on the old man's side.
Yeah, right. Now, there's the caveat in this league is that a receiving touchdown is worth double points. Would that push Vereen up anyway?
No, not necessarily. No. I still think he's fourth on that list.
All right. Second question, still same league. I got Alshon Jeffrey and Pierre Garçon.
Jeffrey, I think pretty easy for me, Rick.
Well, I tell you what, yeah, I mean, I like, Garçon's actually been coming on, but I think I'd have to agree with Rick.
Yeah, we'll make it a sweep. I got Alshon, too.
All right. Question number three, defense. I got Chicago and Arizona.
Oh, wow, the two biggest ball hog in the – it's almost a guarantee at this point, Rick, that the Bears get in the end zone, and – I'm going to play that. Yardage-wise, they're probably going to give up a little more, but the chance of Chicago getting the end zone, you can count on it these days. I'm going to go with the Bears.
Yeah, I think I'd go with the Bears, too. Look, they're playing a backup quarterback, and Rams are, you know, they are a weird team, and I don't have a whole lot of faith in them. They can jump up and bite you sometimes, but I like Chicago defense in this game.
Wow, make it unanimous. I think it's actually really, really close for me, but I would lean Chicago just for the chance of a special teams touchdown.
All right. And just because it's a week to try to get into the playoffs right now, I got Folk and I got Gold. I'm looking at Gold right now. Do you agree?
Yeah. Gold is playing indoors, so that'll make the difference for me, I think, just with the weather. Now, Folk doesn't miss, granted, but I think Chicago probably more chances to score going indoors. I'll go with Gold there.
Yeah, I like Robbie Gold. I think he's a pretty dependable guy, and you know, I don't think you can go wrong with him.
Yeah, when in doubt, take the indoor kicker.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a winner. All right, guys, I appreciate the help this morning.
Good luck. Hope you get in the playoffs. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Rick, we got about 7 minutes left. Let's keep moving.
Okay.
That guy was having a party there or something.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, he was having a good time.
Might have been the tailgate party.
Yeah,
it
could have been. Wish we were there. Okay,
he's
Ryan.
Stuck in his basement with you.
Ryan Fitzpatrick or Geno Smith?
Patrick, that's it. No more discussion.
Really?
Yes. It's
but
Ryan
we thought you liked Geno Smith.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Scott, no, Jim.
Here.
What'd you say? We lost you there for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I go with Ryan Fitzpatrick with one of those Rick Flieger embossed cannonballs.
Yeah, I don't even think it should even be thought of. You shouldn't even be. And I don't want to chastise for a question because we appreciate the question, but, you know, Geno Smith, uh-uh.
Being said, Geno Smith might have a nice week. This is the week they win, and they put up 35 points. You realize that, Rick, but I don't have the guts to do it after the mockery.
Okay, you are going to take
you know what?
Geno Smith against Baltimore.
Geno Smith. Give me Geno Smith. Put me on Geno Smith Island one more time, by God. I'm going to do it. I'm going to come out right on this. Geno Smith Island, I am back. Let's do this. We're going
to
turn.
We're never going to be able to get him to shut up if he's right on this one.
That's why I'm doing this.
Yeah, but on the bright side.
Next week's episode, the whole show's name is going to be chained to Geno Smith Island Radio. That's what we're going to call it.
On the bright side, Scott, I can relax because you were getting ready to pounce on Joik Bell. Now you have Geno Smith again.
The partner that I am, Rick, I've let you off the hook. Geno Smith Island, I am back, baby. Let's do it.
Okay, I'm writing down. This should be fun.
I can see that island. You'll just be coconuts will fall and you'll just fumble out of your hands into the ocean.
And then the tree will fall on him. He'll get sacked. Okay, I need one wide receiver. Okay, write this down, Rick. Get your pen out.
Yes, sir.
I need one wide receiver, one running back, and a flex out of this group.
Okay.
MJD.
All right.
Ryan Matthews.
Okay.
Greg Jennings.
Okay.
Kendall Wright. Okay. Mike Tolbert. Chris Givens.
Tolbert and Givens. So, for my running back, that's going to be MJD pretty easily. So, for my wide receiver, I'm stuck between Jennings, Wright, and Givens. I think that's Wright. I like him. He's really coming on. So, in my flex, Matthews, Jennings, Tolbert, Givens. I hate the matchup against Kansas City, but I think just the most opportunities, Greg Jennings has been a huge letdown for me. Tolbert, I don't want to count on just him getting in the end zone. Givens is a non-factor. It's MJD, Matthews, and Wright for me.
Okay.
I think Wright is a tight end. Can they play the wide receiver and the tight end together?
No.
Oh,
Kendall Wright.
Oh, it's Kendall Wright. Oh, I wrote down Tim Wright. I need to look closer. All right.
So that is a non-issue. It is Kendall Wright.
We just had that panic moment where Rick and I looked at each other.
Yeah,
and
is
Kendall
about?
Wright a tight end, or are we just completely watching things?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we're going to have to rethink your contract with that kind of information. Okay. No, you went what? You went MJD at running back, and you went
right at receiver and Matthews in my flex.
Okay.
With plugging my nose, putting Matthews in my flex.
Yeah, boy, I tell you what, I would agree normally, but, man, I hate Matthews going against the teeth of that Kansas City defense. But, you know, I think I'm going to have to agree because I think just the opportunity to get the ball and do something with it is more in Matthews' favor. Look, Tolbert, he's a great guy in a touchdown-only league. But, you know, boy, I tell you, I think I'd have to agree with you. I hate to do that, but I'm going to agree with you.
I am going to be a homer on this one. I'm going to take Kendall Wright for the wide receiver. I think that's the right call, and I think MJD is the right call at running back. Matthews is the smart call and also the machine's call there. But I'm going to go with Jennings. He scored a TD last time he played Green Bay, and just about every Minnesota Green Bay home game for Minnesota is just a 30-plus point affair for both teams. I think Jennings has a decent day, and I think he will find the end zone again. So I'm gonna put him in the flex.
Okay, so I mean, you know, Greg Jennings Island sounds, you know, a little more promising though than some of the other ones that we've had so far today. So we're not going to fault you too bad with that one.
All right, so Greg Jennings Island. It's not as nice as Geno Smith Island, but we'll let you go there. All right, Rick, well, we have come right up against it. I don't know where the time went. Scott, really appreciate you coming in. Why don't you tell everybody one more time where they can find you?
You can find me at ScottFish24 on Twitter or at FFOasis. All my stuff is at FFOasis.com. And banking off of last week's talk, I'm writing a new Let's Evolve article on has PPR gone too far? So check that out probably this week.
All right. Well, make sure, you know, you credit us for, you know, bringing up your subject here, because that's what we do.
I will put a one-sentence blurb in small print somewhere in the middle.
In parentheses, of course. All right, Scott, well, we really appreciate it. Good luck in all your leagues this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks again, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, Rick, well, that is it. Before we get out of here, a little programming note for everyone that followed
yes,
us
indeed.
To Thursdays. Thursday,
we're still trying to figure this one
yeah,
out.
Yeah, Thursday being the holiday, we had originally planned to go Wednesday. It's my daughter's birthday Wednesday, so I don't think that's going to work. So I think we're going to be back on Tuesday night. We're back on the Blitz. Not sure of the time. You know what, Rick? Let's just make it the Blitz. Let's go back to our usual Tuesday 6:30 time slot. What do you think?
That's what we'll do. We'll do it Tuesday at 6:30 this week only.
Yes,
we'll
this
be back
week
on
only,
Thursday.
Back on Thursday. Thank you to everyone for checking in today. Thanks for all the questions. Another great show. Thank you to Scott Fish of the FFOasis.com, the Real Fan Sports Network at rfsportsradio.com, and, of course, thank you to the Armed Forces Radio Network at the AFRN on Twitter. On Facebook, armedforcesradionetwork.co, the same website without the Facebook part. So until, Rick, Tuesday, I believe, at 6:30 now, back on the Blitz 1 week only. We emerge from the ashes back on the Tuesday night Blitz. Until then, I'll be on Geno Smith Island. We'll see you.
Take care. Inside you, how do I get myself back to the place where